Episode 315, Bonus Edition, Interview with Naomi Hall. Hey y'all, welcome to the Empowering Educators Podcast. I am Gretchen, your host and expert lesson learner. I'm a national board certified elementary teacher turned teacher, trainer, and coach. All the lessons I've learned and am learning on my edgy journey, I share with you right here. From every silly mistake to the most glorious successes, you're going to hear stories and strategies that will inspire you to become your best. I have to warn you, as an educator, I can't help but hold you accountable for doing the work. So every episode, I leave you with practical, tangible next steps so you can implement your learning and maximize your impact. Whether you're teaching a lesson or learning one yourself, there's always a lesson if you're willing to pay close attention. Elite educators, that's the secret to staying empowered. Bring on today's lesson. Well, hello, elite educators. Gretchen here from Always a Lesson. I am going to help you feel empowered. You're going to reach your potential because I'm going to introduce you to another elite educator. They also invest in themselves by listening to podcasts, pouring back into the community just like you. So that means today's a special day. You get to meet Naomi Hall. Let me tell you a little bit more about her. Dr. Naomi Hall is a veteran educator with 20 years of experience, ranging from classroom teacher to district administrator. She has personally experienced burnout and helps educators from a place of understanding. She uses practical steps to help educators build effective stress management habits. Her goal is to bring hope and help to stressed out and overwhelmed educators. You can come back from stress and burnout and stay in the career you are called to. Educators hire Naomi to help them gain control of their lives so they can love their life and career again. Naomi firmly believes when administrators help their staff, they help their students. So let's tune into today's conversation. Hey, Naomi, thanks so much for being a guest here on the Empowering Educators Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I am too. I think what we're going to dive into is so timely, obviously necessary, and I know you're going to be able to share a lot of your wisdom today. So I'm going to jump right in, and why don't we set the stage? How did our paths cross?
I'm trying to remember. I know it's through social media. And then I'm thinking we were connected through a collaboration. Was that how we connected?
Yes. And yeah. The reason I wanted to bring it up is because I guess folks kind of think you can only grow and connect with people in the four walls of your school and maybe in your district if you're at a conference or PD or something. But I have found so many amazing educators through social media, and it's through the efforts of coming together, like you mentioned, to collaborate together or just in the DMs asking questions. And I just don't want folks to be afraid to like, hey, you're a stranger, but you're not a stranger forever. And you can actually really broaden your impact and grow your own skill set if you're willing to go beyond your comfort zone.
Absolutely. I've connected with so many people through that one collaboration, just amazing people who are working in the education space in different ways. And it has been so incredible.
Yep. So I encourage folks to reach out to you if they want to, and we'll share all your information throughout our talk today. But tell us, you know, where did you start in education and then what are you doing today?
Sure. So I started out as a teacher. I went to college to become a science teacher. I started teaching right away. I actually graduated in December, started substitute teaching for that second semester. And then that fall had my first real job as a teacher. And I loved it. It was my dream job. I was in a small private Christian school that I had actually graduated from. So I was working under teachers who had mentored me, which was amazing. And I went all in. And you know, like when you start teaching, you're up late, you're always lesson planning, you know, all of that stuff. And I don't think I would have put this on it at that time. Looking back, so I had been there 9 years, I believe, and in that year, I was laid off, which was, this is one of those misconceptions about education that like there's job security.
Right.
there just isn't, because I've now been laid off twice. And that was such a dark time for me because I had just, I really was consumed, my identity was consumed in my job. So when I lost my job, I was very lost. I was like, I don't know who I am without students, without lessons, without a classroom. And so it was several months that were very, very dark for me, and realizing that I really had gotten burnt out because I didn't have any work-life balance. Work was my life. Like, it consumed everything. I taught, I coached, I was on committee, and I hadn't balanced my life. So I had that stretch, and I actually took a deviation out of education because I lost my job because I was too expensive, which means I couldn't find another one because I was too expensive.
Like, because of all your degrees and experience and such.
So I'm not a cheap hire. So I actually spent a year working in pharmacy as a pharmacy tech in a job that only required a high school degree. But in that, I realized, no, I am called to education. I need to get back into it. I started my doctorate, went into administration, and went into a toxic situation.
Oh, no.
So again, stress, burnout. I gained 25 pounds in that 1 year. Just from everything that was going on, left that situation through connections I had. I found another job back in teaching where I was just able to find home again, get my feet under me, be supported. People understood me, and cared for me. And I think that was so important. My assistant principal just understood. He's like, you've done my job. He's like, I get it. And he supported my leadership
Oh,
in the classroom,
cool. He didn't
you know.
feel threatened.
Not at all, which was just so refreshing because I came out of a place where someone was very threatened, and that's why it turned so toxic. So to be accepted and not a threat, I was like, okay, this is great. Found my feet, started to move up again, was the department head, finished my doctorate, wanted to get into administration, really just as an assistant principal. I didn't have any aspirations to be a principal or a superintendent. I'm smart enough to know there's not enough Advil in the world for those jobs.
That's funny.
So I really struggled to move up, even within the district that I was in. I was in a fairly large district for where I live. I filled in a number of interim positions within the district, so much so that, like, within five, I'm thinking 3 weeks, I held five different titles.
Holy cow.
So it's kind of the joke when I walked in the door, people were like, so what's your job today?
Yeah.
I'm like, shut up, go
You're the
away.
jack of all trades. Look at that.
Yeah, but I couldn't get a permanent position within the district, and I had interviewed for numerous. So I was looking in other districts. And so, just in that situation, that became toxic with different people. I was being lied about, which is really hard. Like, I distinctly remember a couple different jobs, walking into, you know, that one stall staff bathroom and grasping that porcelain sink and sobbing in the middle of my day. And then having to pull myself together and go back and do my job and teach and lead and whatever, but just the amount of stress. And then in this position, I like, I'd walk into the head of guidance. She was a good friend. I'd close her door and sit and cry, you know, so that amount of stress. And so I continued to apply for jobs outside of the district. I found one, which was not necessarily what I was looking for, but several curriculum coordinator positions opened up. I was like, all right, listen, I gotta do something. I applied. I found one. I had been driving an hour one way to work.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, for about 8 years. So I found one that was half that distance from my house. And I was like, all right, let's go. Like, it was a district level position. I'm like, okay, if this is what's open and what works, that's fine. And it actually was a great transition. Loved what I was doing, working with the staff. It was a K-8 or pre-K-8, actually. Loved it. Loved the team. And then April came, time for my review. And
Oh,
I
gosh.
walked in. You can feel what's coming. Walked in and sat down. The district was in major transition at that point. Numerous leaders were transitioning out of the district. Someone was transitioning into interim superintendent. And I was on board with the changes that were going on, all of that. I walk in and sit down, and I thought it would be just the superintendent for my review. It was him and the interim. I was like, okay, she's shadowing him. That's not that unusual. And she goes, well, these are always difficult conversations, so I'm just going to come out and say it. We're not renewing your contract. And I was just absolutely speechless because there was no forewarning to this. Like I hadn't had any conflict. I hadn't didn't have any reprimands. Like I nothing. And so the only thing I could come up with to say was like, well, because in my mind, if I'm being let go, I've done something wrong.
Right.
Okay. So then I obviously need to change and work on something for next time. So the only thing I could come up with was, well, what do I need to work on for next time as I look for jobs? And the response was, well, sometimes it just comes down to fit. And I was like, oh,
Like, what does that
okay.
mean?
Right. Yeah.
What do I do with that?
I'm like, I don't know where to go with that. And then they were like, they had already changed the timing of my meeting. They had shifted it so that it was in the afternoon. They're like, all right, well, you can go ahead and go home if you want for the rest of the day, which to me was almost an insult of like, you can't take what we just handed you. So go ahead and deal with your emotions somewhere else. You know, it just was, I was like, okay, fine, whatever. You know, I walked out, went to my office, closed the door, had my good cry, you know, opened my door and was like, listen, I'm a professional. I got things to get done today. Like, whatever, I gotta do my job.
Good for you.
And one of the secretaries walked in and she was like, she saw me and she was like, oh my goodness, what happened? And she's like, oh, you don't have to tell me. I was like, well, no, you're gonna find out eventually. I'm like, I was non-renewed. And she was like, why? I'm like, because apparently I'm not a good fit with the team. And she was like, what? You know, so when the rest of the team hears the reason that you're let go is you're not a fit, and they're like, wait, what? You're like, okay, something else is going on here. And it was, as I kind of put the pieces together, it was politics, it was advancement, it was money. It really wasn't my performance. So there I am, kind of like, I don't need to fight to stay in a place that like works that way, you know? So I'm trying to find jobs, applying, not getting anything, not getting any interviews. And a friend called me and she knew that I had been kind of over the couple of years that I had been looking for jobs, thinking about starting my own business, but I just hadn't landed on anything. And she called me and she said, listen, if you start your business, we'll support you. And I was like, well, guess I need to take this seriously. And as I sat there really thinking, like, what on earth would I do for a business? Like, how do I, what can I offer? Not that I don't have anything to offer, that like it was, I couldn't decide what to offer. Because like there are a lot of things I like to do. And as I sat there, the name The Recovering Educator came to me. And I was like, you know what? That's who I am. 18 years directly in education, in districts, in private schools, public schools. I have, it's been the best of times and the worst of times. You know, you get both. Like it has been a career that I have absolutely loved and I'm absolutely called to, but I also have dealt with the harsh times, the difficulties, the challenges, the darkness, the stress, the dark underbelly of the politics in education. And I was like, okay, I'm a recovering educator. I have had to find the resources on my own to fight back from my own burnout. I've had to do the work on my own and figure out what works. And I'm not the only educator struggling with burnout. I'm not alone in this. But districts don't provide this to their staff. They don't provide this support. So that's what I want to do. I want to help educators who are just buried in stress, just barely keeping their noses above water, about to leave education. And these are really good educators. These are people who want to be in the classroom, but they need some support. They need help finding resources. They need help working through the burnout and the stress and realizing you can heal, you can come back, and you can stay. For some, it is time to leave, and that's okay. I work with those as well, but there is hope. And so that's really how I came to create my business, The Recovering Educator, is I wanted to provide the resources that I didn't have when I was struggling.
Yeah, that resonates. 'Cause I mean, I guess that's what I do too. I'm trying to be the support I wish I had, which is exactly what you're saying. So that your journey is full of ups and downs, and I feel like my stomach just hurt, and then I was excited, and then I was like, wait, no, something bad's happening again. And it's just like you took me on that, and I just could feel the anxiety and the overwhelm and the stress, and I'm so sorry, but also thankful you use it now to better help other people. And so if you were to think or characterize like a recovering educator, what would you say those attributes are that they could be successful after if they have these specific attributes? What would it be? Elite educators, have you heard? My next book is out soon. It's called Always a Lesson: Teacher Essentials for Classroom and Career Success. I share the Teacher Essentials Pathway, where you can strengthen and catapult your instructional talents brick by brick. And so we hone in on four elements of powerful instruction. Whether you teach yourself or you lead teachers, this book will help you diagnose potential hiccups, fix them up good as new, and create dynamic habits that will result in academic strides for generations to come. Every educator, no matter their role, needs this book in their hands as they work with staff and students in school buildings around our nation. So pre-order your copy at alwaysalesson.com/teacher-essentials. That's teacher-essentials. Let's transform education together, y'all. Now back to the show.
One is just knowing your calling, that this is what you were called to do. And I think that year in pharmacy really confirmed that for me, that I am called to education. And my goal has never been to leave education. I just created the job no one would give me. Mm-hmm. It's that openness to support and connection, because we become so isolated in our classrooms. We become these islands. And we really get caught up in the negativity of what's going on and all that's required of us and all of the stress. So I think that openness to say, I can't do this on my own. Like, I need help. I need support, and that willingness to reach out for it and know that there is help. There is hope. You don't have to quit. You don't have to leave. And really, those that leave education, my reminder to you is that whatever led to the amount of stress that caused you to leave, if you don't deal with the root causes and the root problems, it's going to happen again, no matter where you go.
Amen. Yes.
So I always say, like, you go with you. Like, the situation may change, but if you don't change, you're going to end up in stress and burnout again. So it's that recognition of there are external stressors and there are internal stressors. I've got to work on the internal stressors and mindsets that contributed to my burnout. And so that's a lot of the work that I've had to do on myself, is that internal work of what's going on inside. What are the stories I'm telling myself? What are the things that I'm doing that are contributing to the problem? Now, I was in toxic situations a couple of times. Like, and when you're in a toxic situation, yes, get out, like, leave, go to a different school, go to a different district, whatever it is you need to do. Don't stay in a toxic situation. But after you leave, continue the work on yourself.
Yeah. It's like controlling what you can control, mm-hmm. and recognizing you're feeling something, being able to name what it is, and then work through it. Because if kind of, you mentioned, you know, weight gain, and you were trying your best to deal with it by crying or finding someone to talk to, but you really aren't allowing yourself to fully release it and deal with it and get in the right headspace and move forward. And I don't think any of us have training and knowledge how to do that, maybe even permission. I mean, socially, culturally, I don't know that, you know, that's something that we all do. So it's kind of like this whole new world of us realizing you have to be good at your job, but you also have to be good at managing how you're feeling, why you're feeling it, how to move it forward or how to use it. And I could say I definitely don't have the skills to do that.
Yeah. And there's such a big push right now for social emotional learning for our students. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing for the teachers. Right. And so, like, what I teach, what I works for the teacher, for the educator, but they also can bring it to their students.
Yeah.
And teach it
should be a secret. Like, yeah, let's all do these strategies together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I love that. Like, listen, like, this skill right here, demonstrate it to your students, mm-hmm. and walk them through what you're doing right now, because we get stressed in the classroom. Like, we have days that kids walk in and they're like, are you okay? Like, look stressed, you know, and we try to cover it up. Mm-hmm. We try to hire, like, no, everything's fine, because we don't want to, like, draw them into whatever's going on, but we're suppressing and we're covering up, kind of like you said. And it's okay to show kids that, yeah, you know what? I'm having a really tough time today. I'm really stressed today, or I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling overwhelmed, because when we put names to it, kids can put names to it.
Yeah, and there's like no stigma. It's like this stuff just happens. And let's instead of stifling it or trying to like, I'll just be like, oh, let me just continue on with my day. Like, I just got to push through. But like, you're just allowing it to grow and fester and manifest in different ways. And then you're ruining your performance in the future because you're not dealing with it now.
Yep. And stress will be known. It will be known. If you press it down, if you suppress it, if you try to just keep driving through, it will come out and it comes out ugly. It comes out physically. So many people who end up in the hospital with legitimate physical ailments are a result of stress.
Yeah, and I think it's not a badge of honor to be like, I don't have to even deal with it. Like, I manage my stress by not managing it. You know, it's like, that's
And
not
it will
gonna
come
work.
back to bite you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know that you are mentoring folks, but where do you go to get mentorship and continue your growth?
Yep. So I actually talked about this today in, on social media of even coaches need coaches. So I seek out coaching. I seek out sometimes it's friends, and friends can be great coaches. We need to have someone that will point out the blind spots for us. And some of us, we have friends who are really good at that, and we're open to feedback from them. Sometimes we just need to let them know that we're open to feedback and just say, hey, can we just talk through this? And can you kind of point out like what I need to work on, where I'm going awry here. But sometimes you really need to pay for that coach or mentor, because the one that we pay, they're able to be objective and they're not afraid to tell us the hard truths. Sometimes our friends are a little afraid to tell us the hard truths because they don't want to ruin the friendship. A coach can be like, listen, you paid me for this. You need to work on this. Like, and I sat in coaching a couple of weeks ago and I was like, oh my goodness, you're pushing every button. And I was like, and I paid you to do this, didn't I? So yeah, so I seek out coaching. I have friends that I go to. I have professionals that I go to, and I do a lot of reading and research about stress, stress management, health, fitness, nutrition, because they all fit together. So I'm constantly learning and I'm seeking out support. Right now I'm in the middle of a transformational leadership program that's the coaching that was like pushing my buttons. And it's so good for you to put yourself in that kind of position where your blind spots are revealed. It can be ugly and uncomfortable. As one of my coaches, I was like, I don't like you right now. He's fantastic and I love him, but I was like, I don't like being told some of these things, but it's kind of like the analogy of a surgeon. The coach is being absolutely loving in pointing out the darkness, the blind spots, the sites of infection in your life so that it can be opened up, drained, and heal. A surgeon cuts you open with a purpose to heal you. They cause pain with the purpose of healing, of fixing something that's broken, of removing infection so that you can go forward in. A good coach is going to do the same thing for you and bring those areas that need healing to light.
That's amazing. Yeah, I like that analogy. So, how can educators who are listening learn from you? Do you do workshops or do you do
Yeah.
one-on-one coaching or what do you offer?
Yep, I do both. So, I do workshops. I actually have one happening soon. I do them pretty regularly. And I hit different topics on stress in my workshops. So recently I did one on time stress of like all of the responsibilities that keep coming at us. Cause you know, like it just keeps getting piled on in education. You're like, oh my goodness, like another test, another requirement, another standard. But then you're struggling with that and life responsibilities. Your kids need things, your partner or spouse needs things, your parents. And in all of that, you're still supposed to take care of yourself. And you're like, how? So I did a workshop on that. And then I'm doing another one on money stress, because our finances can be a huge stressor. So how do we do that with like all these bills, school loans, debt, credit card debt, mortgage, car payment, kids' sports, groceries? Like they're like you go to the grocery store and every time you're like, really?
Why
That's
is
how
this more expensive?
Yeah, I was like, that's not what I paid last week. I mean, gas for your car, you're like, oh my goodness. So I do a workshop on that of just like, okay, here are some things we can do to bring your finances back into control and your stress under control. So I do a variety of workshops online. They're free. I also do one-on-one coaching with clients, ones who are, just overwhelmed at the point of really crumbling. You're like, one more thing and I'm just going to lose it. And so I coach them through that. I also work with some that are looking at job transition of like, I'm in a toxic situation and I'm not sure what to do. And so I coach them through that of like, all right, let's work you through the transition and the, because they're stressed with that too, of like, this is the only job I've known, or this is the job that when I started it, I loved it, but now this is going on. And so looking at, all right, what do you have control over? And is it time to leave? And how do we set that up so it's a smooth transition for you? So I work through kind of both types, ones that want to stay in their career and ones that are looking to either leave just the specific position that they're in and stay in education, or possibly leave education. There's stress associated with both. So yeah, I do workshops, I do one-on-one coaching, and really work you through, weekly. We're working on little things because the point of coaching is not to cause more stress. And so I really work with, let's start with this little thing. And I think sometimes it can seem like, well, the stuff that you work on is so basic. I'm like, yeah, because you have to have a solid foundation. But also, you have to work with your brain, and starting small allows you to get success as you go. And small changes have big results. Darren Hardy, I think, is the author. That's the author. He makes the point that little changes over time result in huge results. And so that's really how I work my coaching, is we're going to make small changes. And those small changes are going to get you big results. Because when we go all in and try to change everything, we get frustrated, we get overwhelmed, we get more stressed, and we just quit. And that's not what I want for you. I want you to be successful. So I really do work on small little things each week that are going to build up and make you successful.
That's so great. And so as you look towards the future, what's next for you? Like blogging, podcasting, writing a book, a membership? Like what is it going to be?
Yeah, so I'm not sure right now. I'm growing my coaching business and loving that. I also have a YouTube channel because I do summits and interview different speakers, authors, things like that related to stress in some way. So I release those out there. I've been releasing them weekly. So there's that. And yeah, I'm not sure. I've thought about a podcast, maybe a book. I'm also toying with the idea. I got to endorse a book recently. It's coming out soon. It's about basically people in caring careers. So teachers, nurses, doctors, careers where you're taking care of people. And so it was one of the first books that I had seen that really addressed the educator in that group. He specifically brought educators into that. So I'm looking at possibly using that as the foundation of a course for the resilient educator.
Oh, that's co so cool. That would be perfect.
Yep, I'm like, it would be perfect for the brand new teacher to help build their resilience, but also for that veteran educator who's kind of struggling, who's been in it long enough, but is just they I almost think sometimes as veteran educators, we've seen too much and we start to get jaded. So great for that one too, of like, how do you take care of yourself? Because you've been here so long, and the stress really, it education is not what it was when many of us got into it as teachers. It really has changed. And so really helping both ends of the spectrum, the new and the veteran.
That makes sense. Well, I do want to be respectful of your time, but before I let you go, I just want to ask you one more question, and it's how do you reignite that passion and the potential that you have as an educator?
I think it's staying fresh, and it's staying around educators. Every time I go into a district and work with them and talk with the educators, it just reignites me. Like standing in front of a room full of educators and talking to them about communication or boundaries or how to take care of yourself, that ignites me. I love it. Like I get in front of an audience like that and I am just energized. I walk out of there so pumped up. That's what really ignites me and keeps me going, is those events and things like that where I am face to face with a room full of educators. I just love it.
I love it. What advice do you give if someone can't do that, but they want to feel reinvigorated again? Is this something you cover?
Yeah, I would say go back to when you started. What was it that ignited your passion initially? And what did you do when you started out that just kept you going? Because so often I was learning about this recently, like we let go of things that were working and we forget, we're like, oh, you know what? That worked really well. I need to bring that back into my life. So I would say go back to when you started and you were a passionate, energized educator. What was it then that energized you, and how do you bring that back now? I mean, for me in the classroom, I love the light bulb going off in a struggling student. I taught all levels, but I have to say, when I taught the struggling learners and watching them just catch on and want to show up for class, because I taught high schoolers, so getting kids to show up for class sometimes was a challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
But having those students who are like, Miss, your class is the only one we come to. I'm like, I know.
Oh,
Go sit down.
that's
Like, thank
awesome.
you for coming in. Your work. So building those relationships, remembering what it was that ignited you to begin with, and how do you rekindle that? So for me, it's like I started out in the classroom loving that. And now it's working with educators and reigniting them. That just, it's similar. It's very similar, but it's the adult version.
Definitely. Well, on behalf of elite educators everywhere, thank you so much for your time. Can you tell us where to connect with you if we want to learn more?
Absolutely. So my email, everything is the recovering educator.
Okay.
Keep it simple. So email the recovering educator at gmail.com, social media. It's Naomi Hall Fit Educator, Facebook and Instagram. Just because my focus is you as a recovering educator, but all pieces of you with fitness, nutrition, sleep, hydration, mindset.
Oh.
So putting it all together because those are key parts of stress management. So Naomi Hall Fit Educator on social media. And then there's YouTube as well. And that one is the Recovering Educator.
Well, perfect. Thank you again for coming on and sharing your wisdom, inspiring us, reminding us that this is normal to feel this way, that there are ups and downs and we should expect them, but that we can navigate through them. And I just want to thank you again for just being a light for those of us who need it.
Thank you so much for having me and sharing my message.
You're welcome. Well, I hope y'all felt empowered from Naomi's message and her purpose in giving back to the profession. Please take her up on her offer to collaborate, ask questions, visit, and utilize her resources. Just go to alwaysalesson.com, click on podcast. You'll find this episode and all the links you need are right there. All right, elite educators, that's a wrap for this week's special edition interview podcast with Naomi Hall. Now go out and be great, because you've just been empowered.